Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. Here's a reading again from Charles Spurgeon. This is part two of a three-part series. It's one sermon, but we can't put it all at one time. It's from the Free Grace broadcaster that's published a lot of these old preachers, most of them gone by now, Puritans and so on. Godly people who said wonderful things, and none of them were perfect. And so if there's something that doesn't seem quite right with you, go ahead and spit it out. But I think you'll see some wisdom as Charles Spurgeon this time says a word of cheer to those who think they are laid aside. "Dear sir," says one, I wish you would encourage me. I used to be useful once. At least I was recognized as one of a band of men who worked together right heartily. But since I've changed my residence, I'm unknown in the neighborhood where I'm living. I seem to have dropped out of the ranks. I've done little or nothing lately, and I feel uneasy about it. I wish I could get to work." Well, my dear brother, I hope you will. But don't waste 5 minutes in thinking it over. These times need so much Christian effort that when a man asks me, how shall I do work for Christ? I'm accustomed to say, go and do it. But what is the way to do it? Start at once. Get at it, my brother, and don't be out of harness a minute. But suppose that you're obliged to desist a while. Do not let your interest in the cause of our Lord and Master decline. Some of the best of God's workers have been laid aside, and even for long periods. Moses was 40 years in a desert, doing nothing. A greater than he, our blessed Savior himself, was 30 years. I will not say doing nothing, but certainly doing no public work. When you are in a retired and inactive position, be preparing for the time when God brings you out again. If you're put away on the shelf, don't rust there, but pray the Master to brighten you up so much that when he comes to use you again, you may be fully fitted for the work that he has in hand for you. While you must be laid aside, I want you to do this. Pray for others that are at work. Help them. Encourage them. Don't get into that peevish, miserable frame of mind that grudges and undervalues other men's works. Be not like the dog in the manger. Some people, when they cannot do anything themselves, don't like anybody else to be diligent and laborious. Say, if I cannot help, I will never hinder, but I will cheer my brethren. Spend your time in prayer that you may be fit for the Master's use, and meanwhile, be prompt in helping others. You remember that at the Siege of Gibraltar, when the fleet surrounded it and determined to storm the old rock, the governor fired red-hot shot down on the men of war. The enemy did not at all admire the governor's warm reception. Think how it was done. Here were gunners on the ramparts, firing away, and every man in the garrison would have liked to do the same. What did those do who could not serve a gun? Well, they heeded the shot. That's what you must do. I am master gunner here, generally. Heat my shot for me, if you will. Keep the furnace going, so that when we do fire off a sermon, it may be red hot through your earnest prayers. When you see your friends standing out in the street working for God, if you cannot join them yet, say, never mind, I'll heat the shot for them. My prayers shall not be wanting if I can contribute nothing else. That's counsel for you who are, for a while, laid on the shelf. Others there are who are much discouraged, for example, to those who have but small talent. Oh, they say, I wish I could serve Jesus Christ like Paul or like Whitfield, that I could range the country through a proclaiming his dear name and winning thousands of converts. But I am slow of speech and dull of thought, and What I attempt produces little or no effect. Well, brother, mind that you do what you can. Do you not recollect the parable of the men who had talents entrusted to them? I don't want to lay undue stress upon the fact that it was the man who had one talent who buried it. Yet, why is he represented as doing so? I think it was not because the men of 2 and 5 talents do not sometimes bury theirs, but because the temptation lies most with the one talent people. They say, what can I do? What's the use of me? I may be excused. That's the temptation. Brother, do not be entangled in that snare. If your Lord has only given you one talent, he doesn't expect you to make the same interest upon it as the man does with 5, but still, he does expect his interest. Therefore, do not wrap your talent in a napkin. It's but with strength imparted that any of us can serve him. We have nothing to consecrate to him but the gift we have first received from him. You are weak. You feel it. But what says your God to you? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 4:6. He can make you useful, though you have no extraordinary endowments. Grapeshot may do great execution, though it cannot compare with grenade or bombshell. A sinner may be brought to Christ by the simple earnestness of a peasant, or an artisan without calling in the aid of a professor's learning or a preacher's eloquence. God can bless you far above what you think to be your capacity, for it's not a question of your ability, but of his aid. You have no self-reliance, you tell me. Then take refuge in God, I entreat you, for you evidently want more of the divine help. Go and get it. It is to be had. He girds the weak with strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40:31. Well, I think you are more likely to do good than if you had 5 talents, for now you will pray more, and you will depend more upon God than you would have done if you possessed strength of your own. One other word. As you are not enriched with many talents, mind you economize those you have. Do you know how merchants and tradesmen who have only a small capital and business manage to compete with those who have larger means? They try to turn their money over every day. The costermonger, that's a street vendor, by the way, one who sells fruits and vegetables from a handcart, the costermonger cannot afford to deal out his goods to gentlemen who will pay him in 3 months. Oh, no, not he. He must get his ready money at the door and then go and buy another stock tomorrow morning and turn it over, or else he could not pick up his living with so small a capital. If you have only 9 pence, make it nimble, and you'll get as much profit out of a nimble 9 pence as another out of a lazy crown. Nimble is a word that, when applied to coins or sums of money, it indicates a brisk circulation or return in business. I'm reading the footnotes for you here, too, because many of Spurgeon's words have gone out the door in these centuries. Activity often makes up for lack of ability. If you cannot get force by the weight of the ball, get it by the velocity with which it travels. A little man with 1 talent, all ablaze, may become a perfect nuisance to the devil and a champion for Christ. As for that great divine with his 5 talents who marches on so sleepily, Satan can always overmatch him and win the day. If you can but turn over your 1 talent again and again in the name of God, you may achieve great wonders. So I would encourage you in the work of the Lord. I now have a word to workers who are under great difficulties. I have known the day when perplexities pleased me and dilemmas afforded me delight. And instead of declining a difficult task, I rather liked it. Even now I enjoy puzzling over a problem and attempting what others decline. Nothing good in this world can be effected without difficulty. The biggest diamonds lie under heavy stones that sluggards cannot turn over. That which is easy to do is hardly worth doing. In the face of difficulty, the man of ardent, persevering spirit braces up his nerves, sharpens his wits, and brings all his powers into play to achieve an object that will reward his efforts. Have you great difficulties, dear friend? You're not the first worker for God who has had difficulties to encounter. Let's go back to Moses again. He was to bring Israel out of Egypt, but his path did not appear very plain. He must go before Pharaoh and issue God's command. Pharaoh looked him through when he said, "Let my people go." Exodus 5:1. The haughty monarch was greatly surprised to hear anybody, especially a Hebrew, talking like that. So he bade him be gone. But Moses returns with, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." Exodus 8:1. And his courage was not even then crowned with immediate success. There must be plague upon plague, plague upon plague, until at last proud Pharaoh's heart was broken. The Israelites were saved from the hand of him that hated them, and Egypt was glad when they departed. This, however, was but the beginning of the mission of Moses. His was a life of difficulty, the meekest man, but the most provoked, until he got to the top of Pisgah, and his gracious master kissed away his soul. The prophet of Horeb was never done with difficulties. Any good thing, I say, especially any good thing for God, must be surrounded with difficulties and resisted by adversaries. Look at Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, those that built Jerusalem the second time. These good men wrought zealously, but Sanballat and Tobiah were jeering and jesting and trying to throw down the wall. If you build a city without difficulty, it's probably not Jerusalem. Be sure of that. As soon as ever you begin working for God, you'll find a great power working against you. If you encounter opposition, take it as a good sign. When our young men go to a provincial town to preach, and I want to know how they're getting on, after listening to their story, I ask, "Has somebody slandered you yet? Do the newspapers denounce you as a fool?" And if they say no, I conclude that they're not getting on much. If Christ's cause is prospering, the world will reproach the soul winner. If you do damage to the devil's kingdom, he'll roar at you. And should your course be smooth, it's because he says, "There's nothing to disturb me in that man's monotonous talk. I need not let fly the fiery dart of calumny at him. He is a chip in the porridge. I'll let him alone." Such a man generally goes through life very comfortably, and people will say he's a quiet, inoffensive sort of man. "We do not lack such soldiers in the service of Christ." "What a disagreeable person," said a king once of an officer, whose sword rattled on the floor. "That sword of his is most offensive." "Sire," said the officer, "that's exactly what your majesty's enemies think." And when ungodly persons say that we are troublesome, we're not broken-hearted at being out of their good looks. If the king's enemies think us troublesome, we reckon it to be high praise. When you, my dear brother, meet with opposition, encounter it with prayer. Exercise more faith. Antagonists ought never to hinder your going forward in the cause of Christ. Diamond must cut diamond. There's nothing so hard in this world, but you can cut it with something harder. If you ask God to steel your soul up to the conquering point and to make your resolution like an adamant stone, you can cut your way through an alp of diamond in the service of your Lord and Master. Let me inspirit you in the face of assailants. The forces ranged against you might be stumbling blocks to fools, but they shall only prove a stimulus to men. One day your honor shall be the greater, and your reward shall be the higher because of these adverse elements. Therefore, be brave. Fear not, but advance in the strength of God. Amen. The final segment will include another class of workers, those that are not appreciated, or those who are discouraged because of little success. Now that's in part three. Be looking for that. Thank you for joining with me today. We have the works of several great men of God, like Charles Spurgeon, on this site that I read. We've got a long series on North Korea that I hope you will look at. We talk about the Quran and Muhammad and prophecy studies, and through the Bible course, Bible commentaries, and more. I encourage you to browse around, check out the books that are there at just where it says store. You can click on that and check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website, sermonaudio.com, and we will talk soon, Lord willing. Bye-bye.